Welcome to RBC's Markets in Motion podcast, recorded March 25th, 2024. I'm Lori Calvasina, head of U.S. Equity Strategy at RBC Capital Markets. Please listen to the end of this podcast for important disclaimers. Two big things you need to know today. First, our work on the Russell 2000 relative to the S&P 600, sparked by small cap PM concerns about low quality, adds to our belief that the U.S. came close to recession in 2022. Second, CFTC buy-side positioning in U.S. equity futures rebounded last week ahead of the Fed, highlighting increased risk of a melt-up in the broader U.S. equity market. If you'd like to hear more, here's another 5 minutes. Now let's jump into the details. We'll start with takeaway number one. Our work on the Russell 2000 relative to the S&P 600 adds to our belief that the U.S. came close to recession in 2022. We had the pleasure of meeting with a number of small cap focused investors last week who are interested in exploring how the S&P 600, generally thought of as a higher quality small cap benchmark, compares to the Russell 2000, the index family that most small cap active managers benchmark to, particularly in regards to non-earners. The percent of companies with negative earnings is near the high end of its range for the Russell 2000, around 39%, but is well below prior peaks for the S&P 600, 16% currently versus 27% at past highs. In the Russell 2000, healthcare and tech are heavily skewed towards negative earners. These investors we spoke with were also preoccupied with whether a fierce low-quality rally might be coming to small cap. Though actively managed small cap funds generally use one of the Russell 2000 indices as their benchmark, the S&P 600 tends to better reflect their investable universe, and they tend to underperform when low quality bursts occur. We've pointed out that Russell 2000 has seen a few mini bursts of leadership versus the S&P 6 since May of 2022, but these have been pretty mild in terms of magnitude when compared to those seen in late 2002 through early 2004, and in late 2019 through the end of 2020. We don't rule out another burst of low-quality leadership within small cap, i.e. Russell 2000 leadership relative to the 600, but we do think small cap investors should keep a few things in mind. First, though it's occurred in fits and starts and has been mild in terms of magnitude, the Russell 2000 has technically beaten the S&P 600 since May of 2022. The duration in terms of time is similar to the low-quality trades seen coming off of the post-tech bubble normalization period of 02 through early 04 and the immediate pre- and post-COVID time period of late 2019 to late 2020. Second, the S&P 600 has strongly outperformed the Russell 2000 over time, a testament to the longer-term appeal of high quality within small cap. And third, the valuation profiles of the 2000 and 600 are actually pretty similar, at least among the profitable companies. Russell 2000 is a little lower on equal-weighted median PE, but the S&P 600 is a little lower on market cap-weighted PE. A case can be made for either index on valuation. Over the years, we've come to believe that small caps have important lessons for all U.S. equity investors, whether they can buy them or not, and this exercise was no different. On the broader market debate, two beta points stand out. First, low-quality leadership within small cap tends to be seen coming out of recessions and other crises and has been seen since 2022. Second, our view of the various PE multiples of the 600 and 2000 highlights how both indices, which are domestically oriented and seen as U.S. economic bellwethers, were in line with typical recessionary lows in 2022. We see both the slight leadership seen in the Russell 2 versus the S&P 600 since mid-2022 and the depths to which small cap PEs fell in 2022 as two of a number of items on our growing list of data points suggesting the U.S. economy came close to recession in 2022 and that we are simply in the midst of one of the most odd and confusing recoveries in U.S. equity market history. Moving on to takeaway number two, CFTC buy-side positioning in U.S. equity futures rebounded ahead of the Fed. We've been highlighting for some time how U.S. equity market sentiment has looked stretched on a variety of indicators. AAII net bulls, CFTC buy-side positioning in U.S. equity futures, the University of Michigan survey question on the outlook for stock prices, and the Fed flow of funds data on U.S. equities as a percent of financial assets in U.S. households. Last week, we highlighted how aggregate buy-side positioning in U.S. equity futures on CFTC's data had finally started to move lower, driven by declines in S&P 500 and NASDAQ 100 futures contracts. It appears that the short-term pullback we've been looking for in the U.S. equity market might finally be materializing, or so we thought. What we found in Friday's update, which pulls in data from the preceding Tuesday's close, was that buy-side CFTC positioning in U.S. equity futures actually reversed course last week and moved up. Both S&P 500 and NASDAQ 100 positioning pop, though only the former recaptured and surpassed previous highs. Meanwhile, the resilience we'd been seeing in Russell 2000 futures positioning fell by the wayside. What does all this mean for the direction of the U.S. equity market from here? It's tough to say. We continue to see sentiment is stretched and think a U.S. equity pullback is overdue. But the risks of a melt-up, particularly given the dovish Fed meeting and rapid increases to 2024 GDP underway, have admittedly grown. We're keeping a close eye on the AAII dataset, where net bullishness has been roughly one standard deviation above its long-term average, but not two, and that two standard deviation mark can occasionally mark the top. We are starting to worry that we'll get there before this rally takes a breather. While this is good news for the U.S. equity market in the short term, it ends up being bad news over the longer term as the S&P 500 tends to fall on a 12-month forward basis when that plus two standard deviation threshold is achieved. That's all for now. Thanks for listening, and be sure to reach out to your RBC representative with any questions.
This content is based on information available at the time it was recorded and is for informational purposes only. It is not an offer to buy or sell or a solicitation, and no recommendations are implied. It is outside the scope of this communication to consider whether it is suitable for you and your financial objectives.